The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.
This is the Retirement and IRA Show coming to you from beautiful Northern Colorado. Join us this morning as certified financial planner Jim Saulnier, as well as Colorado State University finance instructor and certified financial planner Chris Stein, teach you about IRAs, 401ks, annuities, Social Security, pension plans, and estate planning in a fun and enjoyable show. Whether you are listening live in Colorado or streaming from their website or iTunes podcast, Jim and Chris want you to know that they're available to help you plan for your retirement. Just visit their website at jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. And click the Meet the Team button on the homepage. Now, here's Jim and Chris with today's show.
On today's show, we are going to be answering a few email questions on Social Security issues we've gotten this week. We're also hopefully going to touch on some tax season retirement planning issues, how tax decisions might impact some of your retirement decisions. And we're live in studio today, so we're going to take any phone calls from anyone out there who's listening, who'd like to ask us a question, have a little chat this morning on the Retirement and IRA Show. My name is Chris Stein. I'm a certified financial planner, as our intro. I guess I don't have to say that anymore since the intro handled that. I'm still not quite used to the new introduction. I like the new music. But, and some things never change. You always wrestle with your microphone stand first thing.
I do. Good morning, listeners. This is Jim Saulnier, since Chris didn't introduce me.
Well, I figured you're going to be eating more of your
Egg McMuffin. I'm trying to talk and eat at the same time. Not very easy on a live radio show. Not very easy when
we're recording. It's all about timing. Either. Maybe you should eat that while you're driving the way in.
It's far easier to sit here and try to muffle my chew sounds than try to drive and eat at the same time.
Well, that is
because all the texting I'm doing as I'm driving, I can't eat.
So we are live this morning, so we'd really welcome your phone calls. The phone number to call us is 970-353-1310, or if you're outside of the local calling area, 877-353-1310. You can also send us an email live on the show. Jim has his trusty iPad out and ready to go. You can send us an email to jim@jimhelps.com. That's jim@jimhelps.com. And as long as you provide some contact information, we're not going to identify you over the radio waves, of course. But as long as we have contact information for you, whether you call or email us during the show, you will be entered into the pie drawing, which is happening earlier than normal this month. This is the month of March 2016, for those of you not paying attention. And I mostly said that out loud to remind myself because I'm not sure at times where I am or what day it is. But this is the 12th when we're broadcasting this live for the first time. And last week we had a couple of people contact us, one via email and one called in. But anyone who calls or emails us today during the show will be entered into the drawing with the two from last week. And we will let you know at the end of the show if you won the pie from Fat Albert's, fine establishment here in Greeley, Colorado, our home base for broadcasting here on KFKA 1310. And So normally this happens a little later in the month, but we're going to be pre-recorded for the rest of the shows this month.
Thanks to spring break.
Due to scheduling issues.
You won't be here next week.
And Adrian is thankful because he gets the rest of the month where he can sleep in on Saturday mornings. How far from the station do you live, Adrian? Oh, he's close, but he still would prefer to be sleeping just down the way rather than being in here. As fun as it is to be with us, and he's not really with us. He's segregated behind glass. But anyway, we're happy that other people are hopefully joining us out there. 970-353-1310 if you have any questions.
We would appreciate it.
Oh, you know, before we start, actually, and I didn't warn you of this.
Oh, God.
But driving home last night from Denver, I was listening. I was scanning through the radio looking for something interesting, and I ran across Dave Ramsey was being broadcast. I don't believe live. It was at an odd time, so it must be a rebroadcast. But he was on, and I like a lot of what Dave Ramsey does, but he's kind of morphed in the past few years. I think he's fallen victim to that tendency that when you're maybe an expert at one thing, you think that you're then an expert on related things automatically, when in fact you are not. And he proved it once again last night, and I felt really bad for the caller. The caller, it was live call-in, and he had a so-called retirement expert, actually. So I thought, well, he's wisened up a little bit because a lot of the advice he gives and things he says about retirement issues and retirement plans many times are just flat-out wrong. Yes, you heard me say it. I'm calling out Dave Ramsey. Sometimes he just utters things that are just flat-out incorrect.
You're not the only one who has started this lately.
Right. So so this person called. So I thought, well, he's got this retirement so-called expert on there, so he's realized maybe he needs a little help in this area. But neither one of them provided comfort to this poor caller, and this caller was very upset by her situation. Let me describe it real quickly, and then I can describe for you where they drove their bus right off the road. This caller called in, and she had recently been divorced and had gotten received during the divorce settlement. The judge awarded her a portion of her ex's TSP, which he's a federal worker, turned out, I think he worked for the military or something, not real important, but he had a TSP, which was a federal government retirement plan, similar, for those of you who are unaware, to a 401k. But she received part of his TSP, $130,000 of this TSP, and she went on to tell them that she had about $40,000 of student loans and about $20,000 of other debt, and she was asking, should I take some of that money? Should I take some of that $130,000 and become debt free? Which, of course, Dave Ramsey is all about being debt free. Well, they went on to tell her that their advice was no, don't do that. Just suck it up and keep that money to grow long term and try to pay off all those debts out of your cash flow from the two jobs that you're currently working and maybe go out and work a third job. That wasn't, I think, the answer she was expecting, but here's then where they drove the bus off the road. They told her that one of the reasons they were recommending this is that if she took the money out now, she was going to be subject not only to taxes, which is true. These monies went into the TSP pre-tax, so there's no escaping taxes when they come out. But Dave pointed out that because she was under 59 and a half, she was going to have to pay a 10% penalty as well. So when you factored that in, it was just going to be too expensive to access that money to pay off that debt. He went on then to say what she should do is roll that over into an IRA, and then she was visibly – or she was not visibly but audibly upset. She was tearing up on the phone because she was she's obviously very troubled by the burden of this debt, and that was clearly not what she was expecting them to say. But then Dave tried to calm her down and say, well, you know what, just if try this, and if it just turns out you can't do it, you can always then go take the money out of the IRA. Well, Jim, did you pick up where the bus crash happened?
Yes.
Would you like to say it? Or?
I'm guessing, because I didn't hear the whole call. We're talking to Quadro?
Yeah.
Quadro, for those who don't know, when a retirement account is broken up, not an IRA.
No.
When a retirement account is broken up, they break it up with a domestic relation order. It's called a DRO, D-R-O. it ends up getting a queue put in front of it when a court approves it. But during negotiations with a divorce, you're working with a DRO, a domestic relation order, and that is how you are going to amicably break up. Did I say that wrong?
A little bit, but they know what you're talking about.
They know what I'm talking about. That's where you're going to sit there with your spouse and decide how you're going to break up a retirement account. The retirement account then, or the DRO, will then go to a judge, and if the judge signs off on it, it all of a sudden becomes a qualified domestic relation order, QDRO, and we pronounce it in the industry as quadro. Quadros have a special tax rule. So what the government says is when the qualified account gets broken up under a quadro, and you they did say it was broken up under a quadro on the call? Okay. When an account gets broken up under a quadro, if the spouse in this case, the woman that Chris is talking about, if she left the money in the TSP as a quadro, under the quadro rather, the quadro broke it up, she leaves the money in there under the in the TSP and doesn't move it to an IRA, she will be allowed to take money out of an account broken up due to a quadro without paying a 10% penalty.
Right.
But if she moves it to an IRA is a different type of retirement account, and the quadro doesn't carry over, or the special rule that I'm talking about doesn't carry over. And that means if she moves it to an IRA, later on decides she cannot handle the burden of this debt and she wants to take it out of the IRA, then she will be hit with a 10% penalty. Now, the penalty, 10% is on the gross distribution, not the net after taxes, because she's not going to be exempt from taxes under the quadro or under the IRA rules. So she'll still have to pay taxes, but the 10% penalty is on the gross distribution. Taxes are not based on the net after the 10% penalty. They are based on the gross distribution. So it can be a very a tough tax hurdle and penalty hurdle to overcome. So in this particular case, yes, I think Dave, if it was broken up with a quadro, made a mistake. Another time where we see mistakes all the time in this, Chris, might as well run with this since no one's calling. Mm-hmm. Hint, hint, listeners.
Well, let me wrap up the Dave Ramsey thing real quick. He left us that she was upset, and I'm wanting to yell at my radio.
Who is the expert?
I'll look it up, but it's somebody. It's part of his network, but a guy who does the rah-rah cheerleading seminars that Dave is kind of known for.
I don't know.
But on retirement planning. So I'm sitting here shocked. Okay, Dave isn't picking up on this. The retirement so-called expert isn't mentioning this, and they're just saying go do Dave's debt reduction snowball plan and leaving her, bottom line, moving it to the IRA. If the sense is maybe she won't be able to do it and maybe she'll have to take it off, they just cost her thousands of dollars in penalties if she ends up having to take the money out of the IRA because she can't get the debt whittled down. So just point in fact, Dave – for budgeting, for a structured way to pay off debt, that's what he's known for. That's what he's good at. All these ancillary finance topics that he's getting into, he's actually probably only slightly more qualified than your barber. Not to belittle barbers, but he really, his advice is about 50-50 from what I've seen on things when they get into specific retirement issues or even not as bad. I think the retirement is his real weakness. Issues regarding Social Security, issues regarding retirement plans like this, the rules behind them. But then investing, he's got some kind of odd he's very rigid in his thought process, I guess, to summarize it. So I guess be careful. My recommendation, and I guess, you know, I'm not nearly as famous as Dave, but my recommendation would be if you find yourself in a debt situation where Dave's process will help you, embrace it. It absolutely will work and could be your you know, savior, just like this, the right diet for you would be good for losing weight. You know, there's lots of different choices out here. Here's one that is an option. If it works for you, great. Once you get out of debt, burn his books and never visit his website again.
Wow, that's harsh.
That would be my recommendation. Because beyond that, you really start to tiptoe in an area where he's clearly not qualified because his advice isn't reliable. And it's sad to say, because a number of years ago, back when he was only talking about the debt solution, I really embraced most of what he said. And it has helped a number of people that I know personally. And while I didn't do his whole process in the past, I took some of what he said, and it certainly helped at least the structure of budgeting and that sort of thing was very helpful. All that stuff is great. But he's off in the weeds in a few areas. So not to
excuse me,
go on this, so I'll be done. But just wanted to point that out, and this was a prime example.
So. Yes, and again, I didn't hear the call, so I don't know. But the other area where we see in our office mistakes with quadros, domestic relation orders, is a lot of advisors think that's how you break an IRA up.
Right.
And they start most attorneys know you don't do that, but a lot of advisors start giving advice and telling people, well, you have to get a quadro and break up the IRA and divorce. IRAs are not broken up by quadros. They do not. They are separated via the divorce decree, not a quadro. Mm-hmm. It's a major, major mistake, and oftentimes we see that. So if you are working with someone out there, as Chris is saying, and they're just getting some of these, we find these very easy concepts, but this is what we do for a living. But there's a lot of people out there who still have it wrong. And apparently if Dave is giving this type of advice to someone to move a quadro and then just take it out of the IRA, yeah, that's going to cost her a lot in tax penalties. So we shall see what happens. You're not the only one. I have listened to him occasionally, mostly the same as you. I'm driving home and he's on the radio, so I listen. But and it's mostly late at night. I think he's on during the daytime when we're working.
Yeah, and some stations just time shifted.
And he's on right here on KFKA. So we
is he? Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
He's on KFKA. So we're not, again, trying to belittle or bemoan him or his success. The man is a tremendously successful. But there's a little growing consensus of advisors out there who actually blog. And there's one gentleman. His name is Marky. He's a writer. He just listens to the show and then tells you, okay, here's the case, the facts of the case, here's what Dave said, and he just rips it apart. And I think it's that type of attention that he's getting either emboldens him or angers him that he continues to give it, but it's he should stick to the debt. That's what he knows best. And then, of course, he has this whole little thing he does now of ELPs, endorse local providers, or whatever they're called. I think it's ELP, right?
Yeah.
Endorse local provider.
Right.
These are all brokers. They sell on commission. And every person who calls his 800 number for a referral to a local ELP, the ELP has to pay Dave $100. So that's how he's getting money. And he is
and they have to espouse his philosophies on things. So that's part of the deal. If you're
now the $100 quote came from this Marky guy's article. Mm-hmm. I have no idea if that's what he actually pays, and I have no idea how this Marky guy figured it out. But that's just kind of how it works. So it's all it is what it is. I guess let's just say that. I will say for those who don't know, you're probably going to be reading about it. Anybody listening to our show is probably a little bit more involved in the financial field than most. The Department of Labor is coming out with a rule shortly that's going to really turn advice, especially retirement advice, upside down. I don't want to bore everybody out here with it. I think the Department of Labor has good intentions, but I think much of what I know about the pre-rule that they sent out, they haven't sent the final one out, flies in the face of common sense in a few areas. And one area is how they treat radio shows, including ours and his. Dave has come out strongly against this whole proposal because of the way he does his ELP and the alleged $100 that they're paying him for referral, and the fact that they work on commissions only. They do not do fee-based or fee-only advice. They are commission-selling products with investments that charge a fee to buy. That's what the DOL is coming after. So I've also heard that even if we are going to be on our radio show, we may be barred from giving advice on any type of retirement account to someone without entering into a financial planning agreement, which would be impossible on
right.
a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody quite knows, is that stifling free speech? Is it in the best interest of listeners?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously Dave and who's that woman, Susie Orman and mm-hmm. Jim Cramer, all the big talking heads out there, their business model is going to be impacted greatly on this. Ours, I don't necessarily think it will, in the sense we've never given investment advice over the radio. I refuse to.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even talk about specific investments. But it's curious to see what's going to happen with radio shows and TV mm-hmm. shows.
Yeah.
And because it would be impossible to answer someone's question. And would somebody calling the show and asking us a question on, gee, I'm a non-spouse beneficiary, inherited an IRA from my father who was 87. How do I take required minimum distributions? If I answer that question, is that okay?
Is that considered advice about a retirement plan?
Right. It's a retirement account. I am giving advice, but I'm not giving investment advice. So I can I give that advice?
Right.
But if somebody calls and says, gee, I have an IRA and I have 80% in bonds or 80% in stocks and I'm very low risk, is this good? Can I say no and answer the question and explain why? This is the uncertainty that we're going to be faced with.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting with what's coming, especially on our show. And then how about when people come into the office for coffee and a second opinion? Do I have to have them sign a planning agreement even for that first meeting if somehow they end up talking about a retirement account? Do I have to stop the meeting and say, sign here?
Yeah. I'd love to answer your question, but you
but
have to sign
here. The government is
first.
Here to protect you. Please
right.
sign here.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have to read our planning agreement. Our planning agreement is short by most standards. It's only a few pages long.
Mm-hmm.
And everything in our planning agreement I was told by the government to put in there. So
that might be swinging the pendulum a little too far to the other side. I think it is probably too far to the too many people giving advice when they're not qualified, and people are paying the price for this.
Oh, this,
like this lady on the radio, potentially. She hasn't done it. This is the beginning of the story, but the story might end up with she incurs a 10% penalty when she didn't need to. That's a real harm to that person because of bad advice about a retirement plan. So if there can be, I don't know.
But signing a planning agreement isn't going to improve
stop
the advice.
That. No, that's true. That's true.
So this is what we're unsure of, and what I'm following, and of course the compliance people who listen to our shows to make sure we're not saying anything we're not supposed to, they've been warning us. They don't know. They don't know what we're going to be able to talk about on the show.
Well, the good news is now we can talk about anything we want. So we can tell everybody to go out and buy beep, and they can also buy a whole bunch of beep.
Yeah. We've never, ever given – and the reason I don't give investment advice, specific investment advice on a radio show is I'm not in a relationship with them. I
mm-hmm.
don't know if this is good or bad. But in the generic example I gave, if somebody called us and said, I am allocated 80% to equities and 20% in Brazilian diamond mines and I have a very low risk tolerance, do you think this is an appropriate allocation? I can answer no, and here's why. You know, equities are very volatile, Brazilian diamond mines, who knows? And we can speak in very general terms, and we would do that. I would never tell them, take your 80% in equities and buy this, that, the other thing. I refuse to do that on a show. But right now, the way the DOL proposal is, if he said – and this is the absurdity of it. If the money wasn't in an IRA, I could answer the question.
Right, if you just had money laying
right.
around.
But right. if the money is in an IRA, I can't answer the question. So then I have to say, well, sir, where is that money? Now, what if he says it's in an IRA? Could I then say this?
Well, let's pretend it's not.
Exactly. Yeah. Could I then say, well, I cannot answer that question, sir. But let's pretend the money was not in an IRA. This is what I think you should consider.
Right.
mean, this is the absurdity of what might be coming. So
Well, this process is they vet this, they put it out for public opinion and comment, and people provide feedback. So this is evolving, but they certainly are trying to make a push in this direction.
Oh,
it'll be interesting to see how
it will be made. I understand why they're doing it. They're trying to get the bad apples out. They're trying to make everyone quote unquote fiduciaries, which again, that whole term makes me laugh. One of the biggest SEC registered fee-only fiduciaries ever was Bernie Madoff. You cannot legislate morality. The notion, and we do not do commissions, but the notions that some advisor who bases their business off of commission somehow is unethical and worthy of nothing short of crucifixion, yet someone who charges an asset-based fee and is a registered investment advisor, which I have an RIA firm myself, somehow is as pure as the driven snow, is bogus.
Yeah.
Bernie Madoff was an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. The SEC had their head up their hiney for years, never even audited the guy for decades. They had tips that he was ripping people off, and they still couldn't stop him.
Yeah.
Oh, but he was a fee-only registered investment advisor fiduciary. He was the biggest crook going. So the notion that they're somehow going to drag brokers into this and they're kicking and fighting over this and somehow put them under a fiduciary envelope and all of a sudden, Chris, life is going to be wonderful and bad advice is going to go away and crooks will never operate, because what crook is going to sit there and say, oh, darn it, I've got to be a fiduciary. I can't steal from this person now. Ah, oh, the government got me. No, if you're a crook, you're a crook. It's just – that's the way it is. It's kind of like when I used to do internet dating and you would read –
What?
Yeah, I used to try this internet dating. Don't try it. It's worthless.
This is quite a tangent.
Well, here's the tangent. Sometimes women would post, do not write to me if you are going to cheat on me and lie. So obviously the woman had someone cheat on them and lie.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think some guy who is planning on cheating and lying to a woman is going to read that and say, oh
better
darn
not write
it,
her.
I can't write to her because I was going to cheat on her and lie. No, somebody's going to cheat on you and lie is going to be the one writing to you. So you just can't legislate morality. You can't write in a profile, do not contact me if you're going to cheat on me and lie, and all of a sudden expect those people to just disappear. So anyways, it's going to be interesting with what the DOL is doing, but it's really going to impact us not so much on our business model, because I only charge fees. I'm worried, what am I going to be able to talk about now on my radio show? That and if someone does call, which no one is right now, but if someone does call and they have the money in an IRA, why do I have to tell them, sorry, I can't answer that? Oh, the money's not in an IRA. Okay, I can answer that. That's the absurdity of the rule.
Yep. So we're here at the bottom of the hour. We've got a short break coming up here shortly. But if you'd like to call in, the break is short, so your hold time would be very little. Our number is 970-353-1310 or 877-353-1310. When we come back, we're going to hear a popular song from 1935 when we look back to the beginning of Social Security. That's when the Social Security Act was signed into law. This song was a hit that became a hallmark of the Princeton Tiger Tones, an a cappella group formed at Princeton University. So this is back in 1935, so you'll have to go back in the Wayback Machine to try to figure that one out. We'll find out what song that is right after this short break on the Retirement and IRA Show.
Are you interested in your own customized Social Security analysis? If so, visit us at helpwithmysocialsecurity.com and click the Contact Jim and Chris button. Jim and Chris offer a $75 Social Security optimization analysis that includes a one-hour consultation to discuss the specifics of your Social Security situation. This very affordable offer is for both singles and couples and will provide you with the information you need to make an informed decision about claiming your Social Security benefit.
Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. That is, in fact, East of the Sun and West of the Moon from 1935. written by Brooks Bowman, an undergraduate enrolled at Princeton University. It was actually written for the 1934 Princeton University production of Stags at Bay, which must have been a musical that they were putting on. So in the summer of 1935, Tom Oakley and his Palace Hotel Orchestra found success with this song. In this version, vocals were provided by Carl Ravazza. Tom Oakley would leave the music industry shortly after this success for a career as a lawyer. The song went on to become a beloved jazz standard and has been re-recorded by people like Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, and Tony Bennett. So, way back in 1935, when Social Security was signed into law, that's what had been on the radio. Fascinating, huh, Jim? We do want to clarify one quick thing there, and I didn't interrupt Jim when we were talking about this because the distinction is kind of a ticky-tack a little bit. TSPs technically aren't split by a quadro. TSPs are part – because they're a government plan, they're exempt from ERISA, which 401ks and other private company retirement plans are subject to ERISA rules. TSP is not, so the acronym for the court order that splits it up is a little bit different. Jim, did you find what that was, or do we just need to tell people it is slightly different?
I'm waiting for it to download. I have the court orders.
Yeah, it's a different acronym. They just don't call it a quadro. But it effectively is the same thing. It's the judge decreeing, deciding. And once this becomes the position of the court, then the spouse who's receiving their cut off, their shaved off portion of that TSP now effectively, just like with these other plans like 401ks, they didn't want that spouse that may need the money to be subject to the 10% penalty. So as long as the money stays within the TSP, you can withdraw it without worrying about the 10% penalty. Once you roll it over into an IRA, that special rule doesn't move with the money. So just be aware that that's how it works. And that happens with federal government employees, including military, that might have a TSP.
If you want the initialism, it's a RBCO.
Yeah. Yes, RBCO.
A Retirement Benefits Court Order. That's what they call it. It's very similar, actually, to how an IRA is broken up. And that's why you hit me with this out of the blue. I didn't know you were going to talk about this in the morning.
I knew you'd know the answer, though.
Well, I was almost – okay, the rules for qualified – all of a sudden my iPad is writing down everything I'm saying. Why does it do that? Okay.
Because it finds you fascinating and wants to record your every word. I don't know. But anyway, the RBCO would come into play.
What I want to talk about is what they end up saying, because they address specifically quadros. They do mention what you just said, quadros. TSP is not ERISA, so quadros, again, don't apply. A quadro, the court order that is used to divide a private plan, may not be valid with the TSP. The TSP will evaluate such an order under its own rules. And then they will use, again, what they call
RBCO.
Yes, Retirement Benefits Court Order. So they may evaluate under the quadro. But again, a quadro isn't necessarily going to split the TSP.
Right.
Now, in the phone call with Dave that you listened to, did he tell them to use a quadro?
No. It had already been done. And the court had ordered it and it had already been split. It was hers.
Okay, so it wouldn't have been – so where did the term quadro on that phone call come in?
It came from you.
Came from me?
Yeah. I said at the beginning of this, I said I didn't want to confuse people by going down this path with the what was in effect a quadro on a TSP. We've talked about quadros before, so that should be somewhat familiar terminology.
But well, the one thing
– the TSP equivalent of the quadro was in effect here. Because she had it split via court order, and the 130 had now become hers after her recent divorce, and she was questioning if she should. She now had the ability to access that money, so it was in fact hers now, and was questioning if she should take the money out. And that's where, and under this process, she is released from the 10% penalty issue, unless she moves it out into a different plan.
Well,
that's what
threw me for a loop when you asked me, do you know where Dave made a mistake?
The 10% penalty was the mistake issue.
And that you know for sure?
I do.
Okay. Because I'm looking through the government document here, and of course it's just saying how to file that, goodness, what's it called again?
Right. The IRS has a document that spells it out specifically.
Okay.
This is one of the exceptions to the 10% rule. So anyway, if you'd like to call in with a question, doesn't have to be on TSPs, of course, but anything retirement related, Social Security. We're going to cover here in a moment some questions that we've received via email on Social Security issues. Our number here is 970-353-1310 this morning, or out of the area, 877-353-1310. Or once again, you can email Jim. He's got his iPad out. That's where he's looking up a few things right now as well. His email address is jim@jimhelps.com. That's jim@jimhelps.com. So do you have that first Social Security email?
I'm still looking at this retirement benefits court order. It works very, very similar
right
to the rules of a quadro. It just says they will evaluate the order under its own rules if you submit a quadro. But they are not going to break it up under the quadro, very similar to an IRA. What they're not addressing is the 10%, but you've already researched that on the IRS's website.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I was, when I heard it, 90% sure, and when I got home, I confirmed that. So it is absolutely true.
Okay.
So back to Social Security instead of us listening to you scroll through your iPad.
Well, yes, looking through that. Well, I mean, what's fascinating, first of all, on this document, even though it was written by the government, it's in English.
Really?
And I don't mean this should be in a different
language.
Maybe
someone did a translation.
You can actually understand what they're saying.
Wow.
A lot of times, you ever read the OPM by Social Security,
yeah, I know.
You have no idea
yeah.
what they're saying. But on this one, you can actually follow it. You can actually follow around what they're saying. And it's interesting. They even go so far as to tell you exactly the name. You have to use the name Thrift Savings Plan. And then they list terms that they will not accept. Retirement benefits will not be a term they'll accept. Government benefits, federal retirement benefits, thrift savings, they won't accept that. Has to have the word plan after it. Thrift savings account will also not be accepted. Account has to have the word plan. Hmm. I mean, they get really in depth on this. I mean, that's... You know, you hire someone to do all this work, and if somebody wrote thrift savings instead of thrift savings plan, they're going to refuse the
document.
They're
going to kick it back.
They're
going to
kick
it back.
Fix it
and send it back.
Fix it, send it back the right way.
There's a little bit more attorney fee there for your with your divorce
Well, the fact
attorney.
That they're listing what not to yeah. list means yeah. they're just getting terms that
right.
people have listed before to break it up. Very, very interesting, but a very, very in-depth document. If anybody working for the federal government is there, this is right from their website, tsp.gov. Then just type in divorce, and I typed in quadro, and it popped up. And again, even though it is called a – I keep forgetting the acronym.
RBCO.
RBCO. Mm-hmm. Retirement benefit something.
Court order.
Court order. Which is odd. They will accept – they call the form a retirement benefit court order, but they will not accept as an appropriate term retirement savings. Just odd how the government does some things. But anyways, the
– Yes?
I'm just trying to think in my head here the whole call. I wish I had heard that call. So the advice that he gave that was wrong wasn't necessarily to use the quadro. That was
– No, it wasn't how to do this. It's
was
already
the 10%
been done.
Penalty. It was
she now had
up.
This
she
money
had
access
TSP,
to
– And it was still in the TSP.
And it was still she in had, the TSP.
Oh,
she hadn't
okay.
taken it out.
I see.
So then he's telling her that, well, you be aware this is a bad idea in part because you're going to pay a 10% penalty. So when you factor in the taxes and the penalty, it's a very expensive place to go get money to pay off this debt. He didn't ask her what the interest rate was on this debt, none of that. You know, if the interest rate was 22% on some of this debt she had, that's going to factor in compared to 4%. He didn't ask her that. As soon as he uttered the 10% penalty, I'm thinking, whoa, Dave, you're kind of going down the wrong path here. And then when he finished it up with, roll it over. What you need to do, those were his words, what you need to do is roll it over into an IRA and leave it to grow to the future. And then when she started kind of crying over that idea, because she's clearly bothered by this debt, he said, well, if you end up needing to take it out of the IRA down the road, you still can do that. Well, yeah, you can, and now you've guaranteed her a 10% penalty where she wouldn't have had it if it was coming straight out of the TSP.
So interesting.
That was my issue and the cause for the urge to scream at the radio.
Interesting. This is
So I think the interest has waned on this, though. So can we move on to
Social
Security? Well,
it's not waned for me, but all right. Since we're on a live show, let's get to an email question. Okay, this one came in. Now you're making me try to find it.
We've had several. And actually, just as a reminder, we have because we get a lot of Social Security questions, about 2 years ago, we're coming up on the two-year anniversary of our blog, helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. Kind of a long address, but it hopefully makes sense to people, helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. And we've got weekly blog posts on there on a variety of Social Security topics. So we do get a number of Social Security questions through that site as well as directly to our radio show website, which is theretirementandirashow.com. So we're all over the web, I guess. We've got jimhelps.com. We've got theretirementandirashow.com. We've got helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. ChrisHelps.com.
Okay, we're running into technical difficulties here.
We or you?
My iPad. This email that we received, the email came in from our website under schedule an appointment. We have a little box on our website.
So they submitted it that way.
So they submitted it that way. And there's and I have no idea why, and it's doing it now. Which, of course, on live radio stinks. But the actual box for you to type in what you want to meet with me about is where this person put their question. Oh. And for some reason, the email won't download to that. It downloads half of the form, not the whole form. And the form that's not being downloaded to my iPad right now is the part of the form with her question. So pick another question.
I have no questions.
See, it won't come all the way down.
Oh, I believe you.
This is the woman. She's from Maryland.
Do we have a sticker on Maryland? We keep track of where people contact us from.
Maybe if I forward this email to – let me try forwarding it.
Why don't you forward it to me?
What's
your
email?
I can look at it. I'm not going to say it over the radio.
Oh. See if I
you
saved
know what it.
It
is.
Do you want it to the Jim Helps one or to the Gmail one?
Gmail.
All right.
You get here faster that way.
You say my email through, doesn't work?
Well, it has to go through fewer steps to get there. So
I sent it to you. See if the bottom part of the email will
load for me. Well, you remember the question, don't you?
No.
Well,
I answered it, though. I answered it. Maybe it was in my sent folder.
Wow, this is fascinating live radio, just so you know.
Now people can tell when we're really live. Okay, hopefully this will work. If it doesn't work, I'm getting into the tax planning topics I was going to get into.
Well, that's always good because tax day is coming up. I think Friday, April 15th is a holiday in Washington, D.C.,
Yes,
so tax day is we get an extension this year.
April 18th.
April 18th is the due date. So you get the weekend to kind of, I don't know, cry a little more before you have to send in your check or what have you. But you actually have tax day when it falls on a holiday, doesn't get moved earlier. It gets moved to the next business day. And since the holiday is Friday.
Did you get the email?
I have not yet gotten the email, so – we have an extra day, April 18th. So April 18th actually now becomes the last day to make a contribution into certain retirement accounts that allow you to make a contribution as of the previous tax year. So it's not too late still to make a 2015 contribution into things like an IRA or a Roth IRA. And you actually have the deadline. People always say April 15th. Technically, it's whatever the due date is for taxes. So that date will move. In this case, April 18th is the deadline for that. So maybe you're having trouble because you don't have internet access.
I just switched to cell signal. I was thinking the same thing. So
that's probably why the bottom half of that wasn't loading. It was just showing you a little tidbit. So it's all good. So there are tax issues, and just
nope, still won't work.
Okay.
And did it get to you?
No. So you've got problems.
I have problems. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, well, let's get to the tax pot then, and we'll see if this email will come through. It had to do with her question. She was grandfathered in, so it was an easy question to answer. Remember when I told you about it? I said I answered, and I CC'd you. I did CC you the email.
Well, then I'll find it. You talk, and I'll find it.
Okay. Okay. So what I want to get to, folks, is tax time. As Chris alluded to, we have an extended tax filing deadline this year of April 18th, 2016. But I want to give you guys a little bit of hints, a little bit of things you may want to do that will apply to the 2015 tax year as well as to the 2016 tax year. As you do your taxes, some of the things you may want to pay attention to. One of them is Roth recharacterizations. If you are doing your taxes now, and let's say you converted an IRA last year to a Roth IRA. So that would have been when you take an existing IRA and you turn it into a Roth IRA and pay taxes on that, what we call a conversion. It's where you're just turning a IRA into a Roth IRA. Remember, a Roth IRA can only have after-tax money put into it. The benefit is, as the IRA grows, it will grow 100% tax-free if taken out as a qualified distribution. Qualified distribution simply means you've had a Roth open for at least 5 years. It doesn't necessarily mean the Roth you're taking money from, but an individual Roth has been open for 5 years, and you're over the age of 59 and a half, or you have passed away, which really doesn't help you because you're passed away, but your beneficiaries can get the money out, or you're disabled, or you're buying a first-time home and you're limiting the distribution to $10,000 or less of earnings. Those are the ways you can get earnings out of a Roth IRA tax-free. The big one that most people are going to pay attention to is for their own retirement account. So they just want to make sure that they have a Roth open for at least 5 years. One unique aspect to the five-year rule, as I tried to say, it doesn't have to be the Roth you take the money from, and you do not have to put money into a Roth for 5 years to get that rule. Government simply says you have to have opened a Roth at least 5 years in time. So I opened up my first Roth in 1999. And let's just say, and I put money in every year, but let's say I didn't. Let's say I opened a Roth in 1999, put $50 in, and never did another thing. By 2004, I would have satisfied the five-year rule, even though I never actually participated in a Roth. I merely opened one. They just want you to open one for 5 years. So I opened one in 99. By 2004, I have the five-year rule. Let's say in 2005, I put $1,000 into a Roth IRA at a different company. And that Roth IRA grew to $10,000. And let's just pretend I was over the age of 59 and a half. I could close that Roth and satisfy the five-year rule right away merely because I had participated in a Roth earlier for 5 years. So hopefully that five-year rule, Chris, confuses people because they think each individual Roth has to be 5 years old.
Right.
And they think they have to put money in. You don't. What I want to get to is if you're doing your taxes now, you converted, but last year was a very volatile year towards the end of the year. And what if the investment dropped a lot in value? January of this year was a bad month. What if the investment you had converted, let's say you converted $10,000, but now it was down to five? An extreme example, I know, but if you had invested in a few energy holdings, you might have lost that much money because oil had been decimated over the past few years. Anybody in Weld County listening right now knows that. Weld County has been hit with the oil slowdown. So let's say you had converted $10,000. Now it's worth $5,000. And you're sitting there doing your taxes right now, not necessarily this minute, but you're doing your taxes now. You have to get them filed by April 18th. And you had converted last year $10,000. It's only worth $5,000. And now you're getting upset, Chris. Why are you getting upset?
I'm getting a little upset because we're close to a break.
Oh, well, not you personally. Why would the person doing taxes
be
upset?
Because they're paying taxes on $10,000 for something that is only worth $5,000
exactly.
At the time.
So when I come back, I'm going to explain how you can get out of this little bad situation. And we do it with what is called a recharacterization.
Perfect. So when we come back from this break, we're going to hear the number one song from this week in 1976, which is 40 years ago. And we do that because we look back on some key numbers related to Social Security. We already looked at 1935. But 40 years ago this week, the number one song is from a group previously known as the Four Lovers. So that sounds great. So we'll find out who that is right after this short break on the Retirement and IRA Show. If you'd like to call us, please do that over the break, 970-353-1310.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. That is the number one song from 40 years ago this week in 1976. Song I like, actually. A little bit of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons there. We knew from the hint before the break that group was originally called the Four Lovers. Maybe that was a little too racy for 1976, so changed their name to the Four Seasons. Let's see here. Oh, interesting. Originally, the group was called the Four Lovers. After 4 years of lackluster performance, they were turned down by a bowling alley establishment. They named the establishment the Four Seasons. What started as an embarrassment became a name change, and with it, future success. Interesting. I love how Tina comes up with these odd tidbits about
the
thing.
She does.
So that was December 1963, subtitled, Oh, What a Night. So hope that one sticks with us. I think it's this number one song next week as well, but...
Were you giving away the hints already?
Let the cat out of the bag right now. So we are having a live show here.
You would never know it. No one's calling.
Nobody's calling. So I'm going to give out the phone number.
Do they know there's a pie drawing?
True. A very luscious pie of your choosing.
Choosing?
Of your choosing.
Choosing?
Well, I was going to say choosing, and then it was going to come out choice, and then it turned into a Jimism.
Choosing.
Choosing, yeah.
We have that on tape.
It's up to your choosing.
Right. We have that on tape. So next time you try picking on me.
Let's. There's not enough tape to hold yours, is the problem.
Choosing.
Mm-hmm. Are you making fun of my accent?
No, I'm just. Okay. I'm pleased that finally the mispronounced word is coming from your lips, not mine.
I admit I mispronounced it. Yep. I'm not going to try to argue that, that's how we say it back home where I'm from. What's wrong with that? That's what you always try to give us.
That's not an excuse.
Okay.
It's the way we
so
talk.
So you get to choose is the point. Your pie from Fat Albert's. As long as you're close enough where you can go pick it up. They do not ship. So if you're a distance listener, sorry. But if you're in the local area, it's definitely worth a bit of a drive. Even if you're going to drive half an hour or so, you can pick up your pie and also have a little lunch or something as well. Visit the fine city of Greeley. So the number to call, 970-353-1310. We'd love to hear from you this morning. Doesn't take a lot to get into the pie drawing. A phone call and your identity. We won't tell people your last name on the radio. Nope. You can also email us, jim@jimhelps.com. And as long as you include your contact information, which, again, we won't share on the radio. But if we need to be able to get a hold of you to award you the pie, if, in fact, your name is drawn at the end of today. That's coming up today. And in less than 1 hour, you could be the winner in the pie drawing. We only have two entrants at this point. We have an emailed question and a call from last week. We had a couple other emails, but they were not qualified. Talking about qualified plans, they weren't qualified email submissions for the pie drawing last week.
Well, no, they came in earlier in the week and they were from out of state.
Thus not qualified in the pie drawing.
True. I'm just explaining why they weren't qualified. We don't just randomly exclude.
Oh, if I want somebody out of there, I'm going to kick them out. I don't like your attitude.
Have we ever had a bad attitude caller?
No.
All right.
Not really.
But you can also email me. I think my email is working, but for some reason that question that I want to download isn't downloading.
Just don't send him any complicated images.
Don't send anything through the form on the website.
Yeah, just jim@jimhelps.com is the best way to do this.
And that's jim@jimhelps.com. Mm-hmm. And you know, you laugh at me for spelling it out.
Not anymore because...
Good, because mm-hmm. I was on the phone last week with an insurance company. I'm not going to name who. It was a three-way call. We had a person in Arizona. There was me and in Colorado. This person was in Arizona. And the insurance company was, let's just say, in a southern state.
Okay.
And we had a three-way call, everybody from all over. The person from the insurance company, I was asking a few questions about this fixed annuity this person had. And I wasn't the one who put her in the annuity.
So was this an annuity call?
It was an annuity call. Mm-hmm. And since I didn't put them in that annuity, the insurance company won't talk to me, obviously. So I have to have the owner of the annuity on the phone. I have to be on the phone. We have to get the insurance company on the phone. Well, with the magic of technology, we did that. And during the course of the call, I asked the questions. I got the information that I wanted to know. And we needed a form. So the gentleman said, well, I can email you the form if you would like. I said, that'd be very helpful. Can you please send me the form? And I said, send it to jim@jimhelps.com. And then I said, could you spell that back to me, please? And he said, sure. And he went, gym@gymhelps.com.
Pardon?
That's what he said.
He spelled helps, H-E-A-L-P-S?
Yes, and Jim was G-Y-M.
Wow. I could see the gym part because, you know, gyms help you get more fit, I guess. But who spells
a
word?
I can't see.
Helps?
He's talking to a human, me. I said my name was Jim.
Jim Helps? Helps? Is that how they pronounce
it? I mean, that's how they pronounce it. Accent,
is that how they phonetically with a southern accent? Helps? Oh, my goodness.
So it was GYM.
Is this a highly rated insurance company?
I'm not mentioning anything.
I know, but is it a highly rated insurance company?
It's well known. If I mention the name, I'll tell you the name.
No, I don't want to know the name. Are they highly rated or are they kind of a second tier?
Oh, you mean the financial strength?
Yeah.
I don't know. I had heard. I didn't research that.
Because you don't deal with them normally?
No, I do not deal with them.
Okay.
But it was a name I recognized. Hmm. And the gentleman was helpful, no pun intended.
Mm-hmm. Helpful, you mean?
He was helpful, but yes, it was gym@gymhelps.com.
Did you contain your laughter as you corrected him?
Nope. I just said, that's wrong. Let me spell it. It's jim@jimhelps. And he got me the document, so
and
it worked.
Did the client chuckle a little?
She was very quiet.
E-A?
She probably was chuckling. You know, it's a three-way call. We're not going to start ridiculing the person. Maybe that's the way they spell help.
No, I mean just a little
stuff.
Snicker or something. Just to, oh, like you got to be kidding me. The gym's the gym is forgivable. Helps is not. That's not an English word.
It is down south.
I think you're giving Southerners a bad name.
I'm just telling you what happened.
Okay. Well, how can we help you today?
Well, someone can call if they need any help.
Actually, we need to help people on this Roth recharacterization.
Is this going to be the catchphrase of the rest of the show? Help?
Yeah, help. It's help. Help. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Are we done?
I believe so. The phone's not ringing, so we're going to have to stop or we're going to have to continue with this Roth recharacterization.
What I want to explain, so this happens quite often and especially in a situation where the markets have been volatile. The drops in the account can occur in 2016. That's no problem. But if you convert it in 2015 and now you're sitting around, it's March, you're doing your taxes, and again, in my hypothetical example, you converted $10,000 and it's now worth $5,000, an extreme example, but some investments can lose that much. But even if it was down to $9,000, it lost 10%. You're still faced with having to pay taxes on something at $10,000 of value, and there's only $9,000 in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this comes from the timing of when you do the conversion versus when you do – when the taxes must be paid.
Correct.
There can be a significant delay between those, you know, distance between those two dates causing this imbalance to occur. Now, the opposite can happen. You do the conversion at $5,000 and then that investment skyrockets and goes to $10,000 and you're sitting there chuckling thinking, man, that's great because all of that growth, all that $5,000, which would have been taxed if I'd left it in my IRA, is now tax-free in my Roth IRA. So thank goodness that I converted it at 5 rather than waiting till it's 10. What Jim is describing for us today is the opposite of that, where you converted at $10,000, but then the value of the investment dropped to $5,000 before you hit the deadline for recharacterizing or undoing it. You have this opportunity to push the reset button and undo the conversion.
Exactly. So that's one of the things you still have time to do. You can actually undo a conversion or recharacterize up until October 15th of the year following. So in my example, you converted in 2015. It is now 2016. You're doing your taxes and you want to recharacterize because the asset has dropped. What if the asset hadn't dropped, Chris? What if it was still $10,000? So now you're doing your taxes and thinking, okay, no problem. I converted $10,000. It's worth $10,000. I will pay the taxes. And you file your taxes and declare $10,000 as income. That's what happens with the conversion. The money you converted, the assets in the IRA that you converted will be considered income to you. So you just declare it as income and pay taxes. Now, let's fast forward. It's August or September.
Of 2016?
Of this year.
Yeah.
Historically or traditionally, a rather bad time for the equity markets is August, September, and October. Just they tend to be three bad months. So now it is August or September, and your $10,000 is now worth $5,000. It was just a bad year, bad time. And now you're sitting there and you're upset because you just paid taxes a few months earlier on a $10,000 conversion, and now the money is down. Well, you still have time because you actually have until October 15th of the year following the year you converted to recharacterize. So you actually have till October 15th of 2016. So the only difference in this description is you would have to file an amended return.
Right.
Because you already filed your taxes in March or April and you did not recharacterize yet. So you have to file an amended return. It does add a little bit of complexity, but if you use TurboTax or a qualified tax preparer, they can help you file an amended return because the IRS is going to pretend that the conversion never happened. So the $10,000 that you had to pay taxes on needs to be wiped out, and that will change your entire tax return. So you can still undo it. You can still get a refund for any taxes you paid on the $10,000. You undo it, put it back into an IRA, and you just wait, and you can recharacterize again. The rules are, if you recharacterize in the same year you converted, you have to wait until January 1st of the following year, or 30 days, whatever is longer.
To convert it again.
To convert it again. Mm-hmm. So if you recharacterize, if you converted in 2015 and recharacterized, oh, let's say you converted June 30th, 2015, mm-hmm. and October 30th, 2015 decided that was a bad idea and you recharacterized. You have to wait until January 1st, 2016 until you can do it again. If you converted January 30th, 2015 and recharacterized December 30th, 2015, you have to wait 30 days. It's January 1st of the year following the conversion or 30 days. So it's just one of those little rules you got to follow. I think the easiest way I tell clients to remember it, if you are converting and recharacterizing in the same year, you have to wait till at least January 1st or 30 days. And that January 1st starts to resonate in their mind and they get it. So if you are in this situation, you're doing your taxes and the asset is down, you can recharacterize. And here's another thing people don't know, Chris. They convert $10,000. It's now worth $5,000, okay? Mm-hmm. And they think, oh, goodness, I can't recharacterize. I don't have $10,000 to move back. There's not enough money left in the account. I can't undo it. You don't have to move back $10,000. When you recharacterize, the IRS pretends the money never left the IRA. So what they want you to move back is, it's a calculation. It begins with the amount converted plus any gains minus any losses. So in my example, I'm trying to keep this very easy. It can get very difficult if the money is mixed or if some of the items you converted went up, some of them went down. It gets a little bit difficult. I'm talking about one investment that you moved. It was $10,000 converted. It is now worth $5,000. You do not have to move $10,000 back. You just move the amount converted plus any gains minus any losses. Well, in this case, the loss was $5,000. You converted 10, you subtract $5,000, you're left with $5,000. Gee, like magic, Chris, it's the amount of money that's in the account, and you move it. Now, where it gets difficult is if we were recharacterizing where you converted into an existing IRA. Now it gets a Roth IRA. It gets a little confusing there. Mm-hmm. Or you converted four investments. Three are up, one is down, but they're all in one account. It gets a little bit complicated on how you undo that. So I don't want to get into that on today's call because it just gets very, very
complicated. This is mostly about advising people that if while you're doing your taxes, if you discover that a previous conversion, you wish you hadn't done it, you actually have some time to undo it. And that process is called recharacterization. And it can happen in the year following the year you do the conversion all the way up to October 15th of that year. So you have a pretty wide window. So thankfully, Norm is going to save us here. He's our first caller today. Good morning, Norm. Thanks for calling the show. What can we do for you today?
Okay, I have a question for you, sir.
Yes.
I've got $50,000 in an IRA. Okay. I am now 79 years old. They are telling me that I have to take money out of my IRA required dispute, you know.
Yeah.
Take it out every month.
I mean, every year. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What percentage do they take? Am I forced to take my retirement money out of my IRA?
Have you been taking the money out since age 70 and a half?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay.
And they never tell me how much I have to take, so I just guess.
Oh, they never tell you. Well, they're supposed to tell you.
Yeah.
Well, they do, but I never pay. Apparently, I only take it out $1,000 a year. And what is the minimum on $50,000?
Okay. Well, I'll tell you that in 1 second. I got to open up my handy dandy.
It all starts at the year you turn 70 and a half.
And
that's when those start. And every year thereafter, you have a minimum you must take out. You can always take out more than that. Jim is going to look up for a 79-year-old what the amount is that must come out.
What I want to know is not your age today, Norm, the age you will be in 2016. Are you always going to be 79 in 2016, or will you hit 80?
80. I'll
okay.
Okay, so he's going to turn 80. There's a nice little table that the IRS has, and this is where your IRA custodian should be telling you what the minimum is. Now, hopefully you've been taking out at least the minimum, if not more, because there are substantial penalties if you don't. But Jim will tell you on a $50,000 balance, and by the way, the minimum distribution isn't based on the balance the day you take money out, but rather the value of the account on December 31st of the year before. So your RMD for 2016 is going to be based on the balance in that account December 31st of 2015. So just in the calculation, keep that in mind. It's not the amount the day you take money out, but rather December 31st of the prior year.
Okay. So, one thing I need to know, Norm, are you married?
Yes.
And is your wife more or less than 10 years younger than you?
Less.
Oh. Less.
She's only 9 years younger than I am.
She's nine years.
So close, but he stays on the standard table. There's a separate table if your spouse is more than 10 years younger. But Jim's...
Okay, you're going to have to do a little bit of math work for Norm.
Okay.
What you're going to do, Norm, is you have to take, as Chris said, the December 31st value. So it may or may not be $50,000. It doesn't matter that $50,000 is what your value is today. It matters what it was on December 31st. So you should have at least received a year-end statement from your IRA custodian on December 31st. You probably would have received it in early January. That will have your 12/31/15 value. You're going to take that and divide it by 18.7. That's your divisa. It's about a 5.35% withdrawal from your portfolio. So on $50,000, it would be what, Chris?
It would be $2,674.
So if you have only been taking $1,000 out and your balance was similar to this $50,000 balance, you have not been taking enough out every year.
Okay, my question is, when did this ruling start?
When IRAs were first started.
When did they make the rule for required minimum distribution, or when do you have to follow the rule?
When they start this, because this is my retirement. Mm-hmm. Okay, I take money out of my IRA. I cannot put any money back into it.
Correct.
That's correct. So thus, every time I have to take money out of my IRA, my balance goes down. The dividends off of this IRA goes down, so thus, the government is saying, okay, Norm, I save this $50,000. Now you're going to take it away from me and my income is going to be less.
Well, Norm, are on this, when you say it's paying dividends, are you taking dividends out, receiving dividends that you're pocketing during the year?
No, I reinvest it.
You reinvest them, okay. If the government was here, they would tell you, well, Norm, you can – a couple of things. You do not have to take cash, Norm, out of the IRA. You can take a distribution of an actual share of your investment. So your custodian may, since you don't need the money, you can, at the same custodian, because this would be easier, you have them open a taxable account. I'm guessing you don't need the required minimum distribution. Is that a good assumption?
That is a good assumption.
Okay. So you open up a taxable account with the same custodian. A taxable account is simply a non-qualified or a non-IRA account. And you tell them, hey, my RMD is what going to be, Chris?
$2,674,
okay.
I believe.
You tell them, hey, my RMD is $2,675 this year. I round it up. Take $2,675 of my investment. Do not sell it. Transfer enough of my investment into this taxable account so I will have $2,675 moved. Don't sell it. I like the investment. I want the dividends. I want to reinvest them. What they're simply doing is transferring a portion of your IRA investment into an account, and then you're going to pay taxes on it. So a lot of people think they have to take physical cash out of the IRA. You don't. You can take out the value, the asset, and they'll move it right into another investment account. They won't have to sell it. Is this a mutual fund by any chance?
No.
Okay. So it may not have the flexibility. Open-ended mutual funds is what we call them. They issue an unlimited amount of shares, and they can issue fractional shares. So they could, let's say you had to move $2,675. So let's say the mutual fund was trading at $10. They would simply move $267.5 shares. They can actually move a half a share. The investment you have, you may not have that flexibility for fractional shares. So they may not get exact. They may move enough shares where you're a little bit under the required minimum distribution or a little bit over. They may not be able to get it exact.
And you want to do a little over so that you've met the RMD.
Right.
Because otherwise you're going to have to take some cash out to make up the difference. But the other issue that Norm is going to have to deal with is someone needs to really look back at the past 8 or so years and make sure that he's taken out required minimum distributions. Because if he has not, the IRS will eventually figure it out and send you a very significant penalty letter. Because the penalty for not taking out the required minimum distribution is 50% of the amount that you should have taken out and you didn't. Plus, when they're looking at past years, they could add on additional penalties and interest on that. So a lot of times, if you're the one who figures it out and fixes it, you might be able to get out of some or all of the penalties by writing the IRS an appropriate letter admitting to the problem and showing that you've fixed it and won't do it again.
We have talked about this, Norm. If this does impact you, do you think you've ever missed or not taken enough out in the past?
Good possibility, yes.
Okay. If that's the case, you should fix it. Whether you do or not is up to you, but you should fix it. That's the rule. And the IRS does show leniency if you bring it to their attention. I have assisted people in the past with this. We've talked about it on the show. And it's a bit of a calculation you have to do. It's not overly straightforward, and if you've missed multiple RMDs in multiple years, you're going to have to do multiple calculations and file multiple bits of paperwork. It's not just going to be one form, is what I'm saying. However, they are very lenient I won't say very lenient, but they're very understanding of people making a mistake. And they literally will accept a letter of apology, I call it, a mea culpa letter. Every letter that I have helped people or people have written in the past, rather, they have shown compassion. In fact, we call it, when you file the form, you have to write in the margins, RC. And RC stands for reasonable cause. But Chris, what do you call it?
I call it requesting compassion.
So you actually write them a letter with RC. It means reasonable cause. But Chris likes to say requesting compassion. Where you're going to explain why you missed them. You just tell them, hey, I didn't realize I had to do this. Literally, that's the reason. And then you simply tell them, as soon as I knew I had to, I took out all missed required distributions. And then you simply say, literally, this will never happen again because I have it set up to do automatically at my custodian. And that's the three things they want to see. You missed it. You made an error. You were sorry. As soon as you found it, you took care of it, and it will never happen again. It's a three-paragraph letter, and that gets attached to the form that goes to the IRS. If you don't do it, if you don't take care of it, and they catch it, they will not show compassion, and you will be forced to pay a 50% penalty tax on any distributions you were supposed to take but didn't. And that can be quite onerous.
It's one of the most egregious penalties in the whole IRS tax code.
And you're going to use a form called 5329 to do this. It's a two-page form. It's ugly. You only have to worry about the last section, Section 8, and there's four lines. That's all you do. The unfortunate thing is you will have to file Form 5329 for every year you missed an RMD. So if you have missed them since age 70 and a half, you may be in a situation where you're filing 8 or 9, maybe even 10, Form 5329s. So it'll be a bit of paperwork, unfortunately, but the rules are the rules.
They're probably worth it because we're talking apparently thousands of dollars of penalties if this has been under – if your RMDs have been too – have not been met by taking out too little. Hopefully there's been some other distributions maybe that you're not recalling or something like that. But this is worthy of some investigation. If you don't do it yourself, then with some assistance from somebody who's maybe done this before. But that's, I would highly recommend, like Jim said, fixing this on your own before the IRS catches it.
And we have talked on previous shows about this, and I have on two shows walked people through how to file Form 5329. So if you go to the website for the radio show, you can type 5329 in the search box, and that show should pop up, and you can listen to it. Or any competent tax advisor can help you. But that's how the rules work, Norm. I wish I had better news for you.
Okay, he has another question, because this is an annuity. He's been taking the minimum tax-free distribution through his annuity.
Okay. Could you hold on the phone then? Because now that you told me it's annuity, it adds more wrinkles.
Now, the good news is what we just talked about hopefully will help somebody else who's in the same position as Norm.
It may not apply to Norm.
Yeah, we need to add a little bit to this,
right.
But we're at a break that we have to take, but it's a short break.
Don't hang up. We'll talk about this.
We'll help you with the annuity question. So when we come back from this short break, we're going to hear the number one song from 35 years ago this week. This song was performed by a group that named themselves after Ransom Earl Olds, the founder of the Oldsmobile. That's where their name comes from. So this is the Retirement and IRA Show. We'll be back after this short break.
Are you interested in your own customized Social Security analysis? If so, visit us at helpwithmysocialsecurity.com and click the Contact Jim and Chris button. Jim and Chris offer a $75 Social Security optimization analysis that includes a one-hour consultation to discuss the specifics of your Social Security situation. This very affordable offer is for both singles and couples and will provide you with the information you need to make an informed decision about claiming your Social Security benefit.
Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. That is the number one song from this week in 1981, 35 years ago. It is Keep On Loving You by REO Speedwagon. So REO are the initials of Ransom Earl Olds, the founder of the Oldsmobile. The Speedwagon was an early model of what was to become the Oldsmobile. Lead singer Kevin Cronin wrote this song in response after he found out that his wife was cheating on him. In the song, he says that he will keep on loving her no matter what. So the Oldsmobile collection.
Did they get divorced or did they stay together?
I don't recall. Tina doesn't.
I remember that album, High Infidelity. It was a huge album.
It was a huge album.
I was only 18, and this is bringing back memories.
Nice.
I remember this song. I was dating a girl named Chris, much cuter than you,
but
she was the first love of my life.
Very beautiful story. So getting back to Norm, who's been holding on, I believe maybe Norm's wife is on the phone now. Another voice entered into the picture at the end here. So we're going to go back to Norm's situation. For those of you who missed before the break, we were talking about complications with possible missed RMDs from an IRA. But then right before the break, it came to light that there's an annuity involved in this IRA. So that we had to pause because this kind of goes off in a little different direction. It's possible the RMD situation isn't as we described because of the annuity. So
who do we have on the phone? Is this Norm or Norm's wife?
Norm's wife.
Hi,
Norm's
wife.
And what is your name?
Linda.
Linda, okay. Linda.
Glinda, with a G.
With a G, Glinda?
Oh, Glinda. Yeah.
Perfect. So you said before the break that he's got an annuity and he's taking payments from the annuity?
No, not yet. We've got an annuity that we get a penalty-free withdrawal for the first 5 years, and this will be the fourth year. So he's been taking the penalty-free withdrawal, which is the maximum. He's been taking about $1,500 out.
And is that annuity inside this IRA?
Yes, it is. So that's
okay,
what we're thinking that maybe that...
That penalty is an annuity penalty, but Jim will expand on that a little
bit. So is this the only IRA we're talking about now, the $50,000 that Norm alluded to? No?
He's just a round figure. He's got $20,000 in one, and then he's got a Scottrade broker account that's got $8,000 in it. So we're thinking that perhaps the reason he hasn't heard anything about a penalty is because that minimum... penalty-free withdrawal of the annuity, which is Allianz annuity, has satisfied his RMD.
Yes, if the numbers you're now talking, Chris is writing the numbers down. I don't have a pen today. So you have $28,000 in an Allianz annuity.
Just 20 in his Allianz and 20? 8 in his.
Okay, so there's no $50,000. It was $28,000. Is that correct?
He's just rounding it up for information, but this is the true fact here.
Okay, so $28,000. And both accounts.
Well, and $8,000 is in a taxable Scottrade account.
The Scottrade, is that an IRA or a non-IRA?
Yes, IRA.
It's also an IRA.
So you have $28,000 in an IRA. Okay, you got some good news coming then. So if Norm has fallen over what I had said earlier, his situation isn't going to apply here. He should be okay. So here's the government. In the government's eyes, you have one. Norm has one big IRA. He doesn't have two separate ones. But the reality is, he has two separate ones. IRAs do not require you to physically take money out of them. In other words, the custodians don't. The government does. So Chris has some calculations here. I'll have you read those, Chris.
Okay. So on $28,000.
Let me set the stage, and then you can tell.
Don't look at me and say my name then.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
So it doesn't matter in the eyes of the government which IRA you take the RMD from. And the IRA is not going to automatically send an RMD unless you tell them to. So Scottrade may not be sending anything because you haven't told them to send anything.
Right.
So that's why they're not sending it. They're not forced to. Now, a 401k is different. They have to send them, and you have no choice. But IRAs are different. You can group them and take the money from any one. Now, you have been taking 10% from your Allianz fixed annuity every year. Is that correct for the last 4 years?
Correct.
Okay, the RMD amount as a percentage of an account balance, you said Norm is 80 now, he's going to be 80 this year,
so he
must have bought this when he was 76.
Yeah.
The total percentage that he had to take out of all IRAs when he was 76 was just 4.55%. But what he ended up doing was taking out 10% from his Allianz. Right. Now, I don't know what the account balances of all your accounts were nearly 4 years ago, but if all the account balances together, if 4.55% of that is less than 10% of what he took out of Allianz, he has satisfied his RMD.
That's why I was thinking that's why he hasn't heard anything, because he has satisfied it by taking out more than his the equivalent of RMD, because he's taken that to penalty-free withdrawal.
But he's getting close here at 80 on a $28,000 balance.
Right.
His RMD is $1,497. So if you said he's taking out $1,500, although 10% of
$2,000,
they'd be sending him the 10% would be $20,000, not $1,500. But let's say
the only thing is that's in January, unbeknownst for any request, they automatically sent him a $972 check from Allianz. We don't know where that came from. We don't know if that was an automatic withdrawal that we requested every January. It just automatically came in the mail. And we're thinking that must be his 10% penalty-free withdrawal. That must have been his percentage.
But if he has $2,800 in the account, 10% of that is $2,800.
Well, he only has $20,000.
Oh, $20,000. That's right. He has $20,000 in Allianz. Although, if you have been taking money out every year from Allianz,
yes.
How much a year on average do you think you took out?
The first 2 years, he took out $1,999, almost $2,000.
The first 2 years, okay.
Yeah, and then he took out, I don't know how much the last 3 years, but then this January in 16, they sent him a check for $970-some.
So he has $20,000 today, or he put $20,000 in?
In. He put in $20,000 originally 4 years ago.
So he can't have $20,000 today if he's taken out probably at least four. The way you're talking,
because of the interest or the variable annuity, it is never really lost. Even though he's taken some out, it still is remaining around 21,000.
See that. This is where you're going to, unless I can see statements. Annuities have different values. And some of the account values, some are what we call pretend account values, some are death benefit values. I find it hard to believe that even if this is a variable annuity, I find it very hard to believe, especially because I know these products and the fees associated with them, that he could be taken out 10% free withdrawal. The fees of these variable annuities probably amount to another 3%. And then somehow the annuity also grew that you didn't lose anything with an essential 13% withdrawal a year coming out of it between the distribution and the fees. You might be getting confused on a lot of the pretend values that these annuity accounts have. They're a very confusing product. We use them. We don't particularly use variables, but we do use them. And if you do have a variable annuity, you might be confusing some accounts that you think they look like a real account, but the reality is they're not. And Allianz might be – your account balance at these withdrawal levels would definitely be falling.
Okay, because I'm going to be coming up to that too. I'm 70 now, and I'll be 70 and a half like at the end of February. And this will be my first withdrawal with everything. So I'm going to be coming up.
You know,
and they did send me from Allianz, and they did send me one from Scottrade. My total was $2,200 and change.
Okay.
My total with all of mine.
That's
what I will have to be paying.
A couple of things here, Glenda, that I want to encourage you to do. You clearly have a product that you don't quite understand. So if you if the person who put you in it is still around, you may want to counsel with them and try to get a good understanding. Or
and he doesn't make us understand that. He says you have to understand this is what you bought. You have to understand that, and we don't understand it. It's like our statement says 1.5% on something else, and then when I called the company, they said I'm getting like 5.5%. We don't understand that because it doesn't look
that's
like
that. No,
much.
You know, that's the pretend account there. This is why these products are so incredibly complex. What I'm going to encourage you to do, I don't want to tout my own horn or toot my own horn, whatever the saying is, but I understand these products and I'm willing to help you. I can't help you over the air. It's remember I just said I did earlier a three-way annuity call. I'm willing to do that for you. You can be on your phone in your house. I'll be in my office. We'll get Allianz on the phone. I will need a copy of the statements that you have. So if you can give your information to Adrian, I need your name and phone number. I'm going to have my office reach out to you if you'd like. And do not worry, I will do this pro bono. I'll volunteer my time to help you. We'll get Allianz on the phone, but I need to see a copy of the statement so I can look this product up in my software.
All statements for all 4 years or just
no,
this last
just your statement? Latest statement.
Okay.
My software, I can look up that product and I can see exactly what you have. I subscribe to a service that shows me every annuity out there. Once I have an understanding of what you have, the disconnect here is the person who put you in it, unfortunately, I don't know what they were thinking or why they did it, why they put someone in their mid-70s in this product is beyond me. But
we have been unhappy with this from the time we bought it. That's why we were considering having me take all of it out of Allianz instead of IR instead of the Scottrade, because it seemed like we were getting less interest on our IRA at Allianz.
And
I'm getting 8% and 9% and 10% on my IRA at Scottrade.
Well, I can't promise you the results of the call are going to be what you want to hear, but I can help you at least understand what you have. But in order to do that, I have to get Allianz on the phone so I can talk to them because I don't know what you have. They have a bunch of different products, and I need to do a little bit of research first, and then I can have a three-way call. You don't even have to come into the office. I will say I have two staff members out for the next 2 weeks, so we are real busy, but I will have
– I'm going to be gone for the next 3 weeks, so I won't be available either.
Oh, where are you going to be for 3 weeks, you said?
In Las Vegas.
Oh, well.
Well, maybe things will go well.
Yeah,
there,
I was going to say, you may not have a problem.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to help my sister sell her house. And it's
Okay. Well, what I would encourage you to do then is you can give us your contact info, or you can, if you have a pen handy, write my number down and call me when you get back. But my office number is 970-530-0556.
0556. Okay.
And you can call, let the office know you're from the radio show, and I offered to do an annuity call. And again, we can do this as a three-way call, and I can at least – you may not like what I find out that Allianz tells us, or you may love it. I don't know because I don't know what you have. But
we've never understood it thoroughly, and we've been very disappointed because we were led to believe in our ignorance that we would never, ever, ever be less than 3.5%. And yet when I get my statements, since I don't know how to read them, it looks like it's 1.5%, 2.2%, and we were led to believe – if we bought this magic product, it would never, ever go down to less than 3.5% and probably would go up. Well, we don't know how to read our statements. We think we're not getting that even that 3%.
Okay. Well, hopefully we can figure this out. I don't know what you have, so I can't add any clarity to this yet, but hopefully we can figure out what you have.
Great.
You need a picture of all of the pages. I think there's like four pages that came.
Yes, I need the entire statement so I can make heads and tails out of it. But if you call the office or we reach out to you, however we touch base, we'll give you our address and how to get that all to us, or you can fax it to us or however you want to do it. But we can get this figured out.
Okay, now you are Mike or Chris or which one are you?
Jim. I'm Jim.
Jim.
Jim, okay.
Jim will be the one helping you on this. He's our annuity guru.
Okay. I like gurus.
Okay.
Perfect. Okay. Thanks a lot for the call, Norm and Glenda.
It will be handier for us to come in rather than get on the phone call.
And that's certainly
in the You're welcome to come into the office. We'll even give you a cup of coffee, and we can get Allianz on the phone.
That sounds better to me. Okay.
Okay. Thanks a bunch.
I'll come back.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. So we've got, let's see, actually 3 minutes left.
I just want to say,
probably don't have time for another call.
Before we draw the pie, I want to give one shout out to my CPA who's listening. She goes, just want to let you guys know you rock. I don't have a question. I want to win a pie. Can we put her in the pie drawing? Is that good enough?
No. Is it?
No. I'm just teasing her. She's listening. So you have to come up with a real question, Diane. I'm sorry. You can't just tell us I want to win a pie. Nice try.
Nice. Yeah.
But she did give me her contact info.
Well, that's one step.
That's one step.
The other step is
next time ask a question, Diane, and then you can win a pie.
And not be a personal friend of the host. Donate.
She's not a friend. She's a CPA. Well, she's a friend,
friend
too.
Now.
Yeah, I like her. She's a nice woman.
Yeah.
One thing I want to do is give a quick, because I only really have about a minute. This is a typical thing we run into with annuities. And it's tough because we use fixed annuities and immediate annuities and qualified income annuities. They're called qualified longevity annuity contracts. We use them quite regularly in my practice. And it's hard when people come in and they say, oh, I either love annuities or, oh, I hate annuities. We're agnostic with annuities. They're just a tool. But the situation we ran into with Norm and Glenda right now, that's what angers me. They have a product they don't understand. It was not presented correctly. I don't know if it was even, in my very humble opinion, an appropriate thing to put someone. Norm is 80. He bought it 4 years ago. Are you really going to want to put a 76-year-old in this type of complex product and limit his access to his money and all this? This is one of the things that anger me. It's not that the annuity itself is bad. It may be the person who provided it just wasn't fully open with the way it worked. And that's some of the issues I have with annuities. That's something the Department of Labor, we talked earlier about the DOL. This is what they're trying to crack down on, is the bad advice being given on IRA accounts. So from that standpoint, in a few short weeks, what happened to this couple may not be able to happen anymore.
Right. So we need to do the pie drawing. So, Jim, pick a number between 1 and 3. We have 3 qualified participants. Please.
I'm going to say 3.
3 would be Norm and Glenda.
No kidding.
So, Norm and Glenda, we will get a hold of you to arrange for that pie. This is the Retirement and IRA Show. Thanks. We'll be back with you next week with a recorded show. But today, I'm going to go out and enjoy lovely Colorado. Hope you have a lovely spot wherever you are. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back with you next week on the Retirement and IRA Show.
Missed any of today's show? Listen again on iTunes or the Retirement and IRA Show.com.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, HELPS.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested indirectly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.